If you want peace, work for justice. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Tuesday. Cast your care upon the Lord because the Lord cares for you. What kind of cares are you carrying around right now? Is it about your health, your family, your marriage, your job? You feeling overwhelmed by all the bad news in the media? What kind of cares are you carrying around right now? Are they getting heavier with each passing day? Are they like a monkey on your back? You feel like a 1,000 pounds on your chest? Why wouldn't you hand them over to God? How does worry help? Tell me, seriously, how does worry help one bit? Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but you don't get anywhere. So I say, following the words, the inspired words of St. Peter in his letter, cast your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. It'll make your outlook on life more hopeful. It'll help you sleep better at night. It'll help you with your indigestion problems. I say do it. Try it, okay? Problem isn't that Christianity has been tried and found wanting. The problem is that Christianity has never been tried, said G.K. Chesterton, a great English writer. Well, today I'm staying with the Beatitudes from Matthew's Gospel, and the one I want to share with you today is from Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they shall be satisfied. Well, you know, as soon as we start talking about justice, a lot of people start squirming a little bit. You know? It's the difference between charity and justice. Charity involves a situation because of some tragedy that the people find themselves momentarily in harm's way or momentarily in need of some type of help. And once the help is given, then the equilibrium returns and people continue with their life. Okay, so charity has to do with dealing with an incident that is difficult but can be overcome. Justice involves the whole system of rights. And justice needs to be applied when people are deprived of their rights, because that can be systemic. That can be going on for centuries. That can be an inherent part of a corrupt government. And so there's a difference between charity and justice. And Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they shall be satisfied. Okay, so definition again of justice is giving to another person what is rightly theirs. Okay, and I started the program out today with the statement, if you want peace, work for justice. Since since he was first made pope, that was the theme of all the popes. He started it. If you want peace, work for justice. There can be no peace without justice. There really can't. You know, if you want to have peace with God, then you justly need to give to God what is rightly God's, which is adoration and praise, your time, your heart, your talents, your finances. You need to really say, here I am, God, I'm placing myself and the things that you really gave to me anyways, I'm placing them at your disposal. Use them as you would like. Time is a very important thing. Time for prayer, as I say, time for adoration and thanksgiving. Now, justice has to be applied to our human relationships, too. It has to be applied if you're a boss or a politician, if you're a union leader, if you're a policeman. I could go on and on about the people who have to act in a just way. But even within the family, there's justice that needs to be applied. When somebody gets married, that spouse needs to, in justice, give to the other spouse what is rightly his or her. You know, time, my heart, my attention, share my prayer, etc., etc. And so there's an injustice done when people are married but not treating each other the way married people should be treated. That would be true of raising children. That would be true in children's relationship with their parents. The justice component is critical if we're going to have peace. Peace in our heart, peace in our family, peace in our church, peace in our world. Now, justice has to be rooted in absolute truths. Okay, as the Declaration of Independence says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, which means I don't need some very educated person to explain these truths to me. They're so rooted in what it means to be human. And when our country was not afraid to talk about our Creator and what we owed our Creator, then the whole relationship of giving to God what is rightly God's, that was, you know, woven through so much of the interaction of the early founders, mothers, fathers of our country. But we cannot have justice, or peace for that matter, if there's no absolute truths. You know, I remember once talking in an 8th grade class, and I asked this 8th grade boy, who seemed to be very, distracted by whatever we distracted him, but he didn't seem to be paying attention to me. So I called on him and I said, could you tell me what our world would be like if there was no God? And he said to me, well, if there was no God, there can be no truths that apply to everybody. I said, very, very good. And then if there's no truths to apply to everybody, what would that mean? He said, well, if there's no God and there's no truths that apply to everybody, there can be no laws that apply to everybody. Okay, now I was being very impressed by him. Okay, I said, now if there's no God and there's no truths that apply to everybody and therefore there's no laws that apply to everybody, what will we have? And he said, chaos. Okay. My last question was, then who would run the world? And right back at me, he said, the one with the most power. Now, yesterday I talked about power when I talked about meekness. How power, meekness is power held in reserve. So for us, if we're going to have a hunger for justice, and if we want that hunger to be satisfied, it will be satisfied as we allow God into our life more and more, as we imitate Jesus more and more, his actions here on earth. If we realize that relationships are based on what we owe each other, what we've committed ourselves to the relationship. Without justice, there can be no peace. Today, I'd like to hold up for you for a moment the example of Saint Joseph, the foster father of Jesus, the husband of Mary. You know this, don't you? Saint Joseph goes through the whole Bible without uttering one word. And yet he gets the most beautiful eulogy. We hear Saint Joseph was a just man. I want you to think about that for a moment. Say I'm your pastor, and you pass away, and I'm having your funeral service, and I'm going to preach now, okay? You can imagine the shock on people's face if I walked up to the pulpit, read the scriptures, and then when everybody got settled, I said this: Joe was a just man. And I walked away from the pulpit. Or Kathy was a just woman. And I walk away from the pulpit. Well, the reaction on the part of my listeners would be shocked. Is that it? Is that all you're going to say? They might be a little dismayed. Surely this man deserves a longer eulogy. But if you think about it, had I not just said the most important thing, the biggest compliment that you give a person, I called her just. That's all Joseph was called. He was a just man. We have to work on justice in our lives. We have to become just men and just women. We can't be petty thieves in the grocery store. We can't be taking stuff home from work. We can't be cheating on the hours that we say we did work. Justice is so critical for a society to run smoothly. When it doesn't run smoothly, there's chaos. So I don't think that it's a horrible or too short homily during the homily at your eulogy to have the priest simply say, "He was a just man. She was a just woman." Okay? Here's today's prayer partners. Narcotic agents. What do I mean by that? Well, these are the people who go underground, often joining gangs, often risking their life, to find out who are the drug dealers and to try to put them out of circulation. So we really do ask Jesus today to bless narcotic agents, keep them safe when they're in the face of harm, give them great wisdom to know when to speak and when to be quiet. Keep their family safe while they're away, because, Jesus, you know they're away sometimes for weeks at a time. We ask you to bless them, Jesus. Okay, today's food for thought. Again, I don't know who said this, but I like it. You cannot change the past, but you can ruin the present by worrying over the future. Isn't that good? Can't change the past, but we can ruin right here, right now, by worrying over the future. And there's no value to worrying over the future because it might not come. We might not have to deal with a situation forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. No. Now my small attempt to make you smile or laugh. Arthur was sitting outside his local pub one day, enjoying a quiet pint of beer and generally feeling good about himself, when a nun suddenly appeared at his table and starts decrying the evils of drink. "You should be ashamed of yourself, young man. Drinking is a sin. Alcohol is the blood of the devil." Now, Arthur gets pretty annoyed about this and goes on the offensive. "How do you know, sister? My mother superior told me so. But have you ever had a drink yourself? How can you be sure that what you are saying is right?" "Don't be ridiculous," the nun says. "Of course I've never taken alcohol myself." "Then let me buy you a drink. If you still believe afterwards that it is evil, I will give up drinking the rest of my life." "How could I, a nun, sit outside this public house drinking? I'll get the barman to put in a teacup for you. Then no one will know." The nun reluctantly agrees, so Arthur goes into the bar. "Another pint for me and a triple vodka on the rocks." Then he lowers his voice and says to the barman, "And could you put the vodka in a teacup?" "Oh no," says the barman. "It's not that nun again, is it?" Funny. Folks, if you can help me keep my hospital going in Mexico, I'd really be grateful. Could you write me a check? You can make it out to TASH. Send it to Father's God, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. And God will bless you for your generosity. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there's despair, hope. Where there's darkness, light. And where there's sadness, joy.
Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore.